Father, as always, I thank you for the entrance of your word. It brings light and it gives understanding to the simple. Hallelujah. Now let that light shine in our hearts. Let it be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Let the understanding, knowledge, revelation knowledge from the Holy Spirit be with us this morning and give us encouragement in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Today's word from the Lord is going to be on a message that I have here. You can call it yesterday, today, and tomorrow. You can also call it the past, the present, and the future. Well, yesterday is past. Today is our present. And tomorrow is yet to come. So let's see what the scripture has to say about these topics. Well, I'm going to talk first about the past, the present, and the future. We'll also be talking about yesterday, today, and tomorrow. There are three dimensions that we are listing here: past, present, and future. Now, God is in all dimensions, all those dimensions at the same time. If there's any more, he's there as well. But for us, we can only operate in the present. You cannot be in yesterday, and you cannot be in tomorrow. It's not possible. Yesterday is already gone. Tomorrow is yet to come. Today is what we have. Now, God, on the other hand, he is in yesterday. He is in tomorrow. He is also in today. He's in the past. He's in the present. He's in the future. Now, no matter how we look at time, even as it's approaching midnight, and you look at it and you say, oh, it's almost tomorrow. You know, well, 5 minutes to midnight, 3 minutes to midnight, 1 minute to midnight. And then when midnight strikes, you say, oh, now we are in tomorrow. No, that will be wrong. You can never be in tomorrow. When midnight strikes, it will still be today. You're always in today. And so that in itself tells us that, look, we cannot live in our past, because the present is what we have. Tomorrow, we'll talk about that also, what God may show us, you know, hope for tomorrow and so forth, and what faith can see. But you are in the present. Now, the dimensions of faith, that's something else we're going to cover quickly. But for the past and the future, God can actually take a prophet. Now, I'm talking about a prophet now, not just talking about the prophetic gift. I mean, a real prophet, they can go into the past, and they can also go into the future. You know, the gift of prophecy also can reveal many things like that. But the prophet, I mean, just imagine how someone like Moses, how he wrote all those things, you know, in the Torah, you know, the Genesis account. How in the world did he write all that stuff? Was he there? Of course he was not there, you know. But being a prophet and spending a lot of days with the Lord take him back and show him things that were already passed. Of course, the word of the Lord also comes to the prophet, you know, for the now and the future. Well, for the most of us, you know, the only thing that we can do about the past is, well, we can think about it, but you can't change it. It's already gone. We can learn from it, though. You know, many times if God calls to remembrance the past, it's so that we can learn from it. And as I've often told people, well, you can't stop reliving the past. Get your finger off the rewind button. You know, the past is already gone. It's in the past. That's why it's called past. Now, every one of us has a past. everybody, we have a past, and we are in the moment for the present. Now, there are some things that the past may have had or may have happened in the past. That's yesterday. There may have been pain and sorrow and grief and distress. Perhaps some failure, some anguish, some disappointment, maybe sickness, maybe poverty, maybe shame, maybe disgrace, etc. You can name all the negative stuff of yesterday and the past. But you know, that was really yesterday. Today is a new day. And we have the opportunity to channel the womb of the morning into blessings for us. You know, today, when you hear the word of the Lord, it says, harden not your heart. You know, let me talk briefly about why God uses yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and how we've seen that in the scriptures. Well, first of all, we know that Jesus Christ, we're told, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's Hebrews 13 and 8. We also know that the Lord, and I gave this scripture last week for people to read and memorize in Ecclesiastes 3, 14 and 15. We know that the Lord, He's in all those dimensions at the same time. What is future to us with the Lord is already past. You know, he can do all of that. You know, the past is now. The future is past. He is eternal. That's why we call it eternal. There's nothing, no difference from Him. Now, I'm going to reveal something here, you know, that may shock you or dumbfound, you know, people who are, you know, just can't figure it out. Because God is in the future and in the past and in the present at the same time, there's really nothing future to the Lord. That's not dumbfounding. We know that. But the thing is this, you know, which is very hard to explain unless you have tremendous faith that can pierce into both directions. Today that you are here, God already saw this day years ago. God was here with you years ago. God was here with you thousands of years ago, if you want to call it that. God was here with you even yesterday, 2 weeks ago, last week, 1 month, whatever. Because God's already, you know, in what we call future. You know, that means 2 weeks ago, if you could go to the back to the past, 2 weeks ago, that's where you were. But God's already here today, even 2 weeks ago. What does all that mean? Well, you really can't practice this unless the Holy Spirit takes you into that dimension. But if the Holy Spirit takes you into that dimension, and I've done it on a few occasions, it's like you can actually see God hearing your prayer today as though you prayed it 2 weeks ago. Yeah, that's why I say, well, it may be a bit dumbfounding, but it's real. You know, I've had situations where, you know, because the scripture says, well, this, you know, the man that trusts his Lord, he will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord and all that. You know, I may receive a news that could have made my heart to faint. You know, and it may be something that perhaps, you know, might have happened already. And you say, wow, I wish I knew about that. And I wish I had a chance to pray about that. But you know what? The truth of the matter is God can hear you now as if you was 2 weeks ago. Hallelujah. That's difficult for people to understand. And then there'll be those times I say, Lord, you heard this prayer 2 weeks ago. Now, when I didn't have a chance to pray for that person 2 weeks ago, I'm praying now. You heard that prayer even 2 weeks ago. So even though I don't know what's going on with them, you heard this prayer already. So now, Lord, do what only you can do. Amazing stuff, you know. Now, we don't recommend that you pray for anyone that's already gone. They're gone. You can't do anything about that. I don't pray for the dead and stuff like that. But I tell you what, the living, they shall praise the Lord. And the Lord, there's nothing, you know, if you can understand how to move in dimensions, it's really nothing that God cannot do. Past, present, future, it's nothing to the Lord at all. It's all the same, you know. So what I'm preaching right now, this message that I'm preaching right now, the Lord knew I'll be preaching it 2 weeks ago. He saw me doing it already. So what's different? You know, nothing. It's just because, you know, we don't have the capacity to understand those things, you know. So, but let me bring it to us in the way that we can, you know, benefit out of this message. The reason why the Lord allows these days and yesterdays and todays and tomorrows is not for the Lord's benefit. With Him, there's no time. But He created time for us. You know, Genesis 1 and 14, He said, well, let there be all these things, you know, stars, sun, moon, and so forth, and all these things He put out there. Let them be for signs and for seasons. And He put it out there. And, you know, the Lord was actually the one that called forth the night and the day because of the way that He did it. When He commanded the light to shine out of darkness, we are told that He said, let there be light. But He did not say, and let the darkness be no more. You know, if He had said that, we would never have anything called day or night. But He didn't say that because in His mind, there was a reason for it. You know, there's a reason for night and day. There's a reason for yesterday and today and tomorrow. You know, there's a reason for ups and downs. There's a reason for adversity and prosperity. Ecclesiastes 7 and 14 says, in the day of, you know, prosperity, rejoice. And in the day of adversity, consider. Because God has put these two side by side. Sometimes prosperity, sometimes adversity. You know, half of the day, dark. Next one, light. There's night, there's day. I mean, God put these things side by side so that all our thinking, you know, and our hope, our thoughts will look toward Him and nothing outside of Him. We got to keep trusting the Lord. When it's night, you got to believe that joy is coming in the morning, like Psalm 30 and 5 says. It says, sorrow may endure for a night, but joy is coming in the morning, according to Psalm 30 and verse 5. You know, so it gives us an opportunity to say, well, the night cannot last forever. When you're going through night, that represents, you know, some darkness and confusion and various things and so forth. We have the opportunity to look forward to the day. At some point in time, we know the day is going to break. You know, so that gives us encouragement. Now, if the Lord had rebuked the night and said, let the night be no more, then there would have been no more night. But He didn't say that. You know, more importantly, He actually gave the darkness a name. He called it night. And He gave the light a name and called it day. So by God naming the darkness, well, means that He has a purpose for it. There's the up and downs and different things. And then the seasons, you know, the times, the evening and the morning being the first day and so forth like that, bring us our times and days and so forth. And all the elements that He put, the sun and the moon, the rotations and the, you know, revolutions and so forth, you know, bring us our days and our seasons. You know, so the earth is constantly moving, revolving around the sun. Gives us our years and various things. But the earth is also revolving around its axis, you know, giving us our days, the way the reflection of the sun hits the earth and so forth. Some hours here and then moves around, then darkness comes and so forth. So there's always this back and forth, you know. But as far as the word of the Lord, most of the time when the Lord will bring something prophetic and some hope, he always likes to give it for the future. You know, it's not like God's not in the present, but he gives us time to believe the Lord and to worship. You know, it may also actually give you, give the devil an opportunity, you know, to cause you to doubt, or the Lord may use it to try the word of the Lord. Either way, you know, God loves to say tomorrow. He likes to say that. And there's many examples in the Bible, you know, where we see that God was using tomorrow, you know, to encourage the people. Now, there is yesterday, and then there is today, and then there is tomorrow. Well, let's look at today. Sometimes God says today as well. You know, in the book of Exodus, chapter 14 and verse 13, well, there's an element of today and a hidden element of tomorrow. And in this story, the children of Israel are up against the Red Sea. Pharaoh charging down before them, trying to come and destroy them, with the Lord holding him at bay with a pillar of fire. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. So the Lord's going to show you his salvation. Now, today is always, as far as salvation goes, today is always the day of salvation. There is no, you know, salvation is not tomorrow. It is today. Now, there are some things that God does, you know, that maybe you can see that he'll give some prophetic things for tomorrow. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2 tells us that today is always the day of salvation. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So God doesn't want us to put off salvation to another day. But in this place, in Exodus 14, back to that story, Moses said to them that God's going to show you his salvation this day. And the Egyptians that you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. That's tomorrow. By the time tomorrow rolls around, they're gone. You see them today, but they are gone. Now, the sorrows, the challenges, the distresses, and so forth, I may be with you today. The Lord says to you, by tomorrow, it'll be a new day. And they're gone. Now, listen to what the Lord also says in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13. These are some things we can learn from the past. You know, how either they did not take advantage of the day according to the way that the Lord was expecting it. You know, here's what the Lord said, you know, in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13. He said, we should exalt one another daily, you know, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sins. Well, many of them in the past, the children of Israel, were hardened, you know, and God was grieved with that generation for 40 years. But for us, he said, today, if you will hear his voice, don't harden your hearts like they did back then. Now, in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 7, you know, he says, you know, something also, you know, about today. He said, the Lord said, on a certain day, saying in David, today, after a long time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. So, the truth of the matter is, today is for us to hear the word of the Lord. That's what today is for. Now, yesterday is already gone. It's for us to reflect, maybe learn for some things, maybe energize ourselves for some faith, and see what God had done in the past. Like, look, the Lord delivered the lion and the bear into my hands. That was yesterday. So today, we use the knowledge, the experiences, and the previous victories, you know, to encourage ourselves for the present conflict. So that's the benefit of yesterday. But today, when you hear the word of the Lord, harden not your heart. But the Lord likes to say things like tomorrow, you know, to give us also an opportunity for hope. In 2 Kings chapter 7 and verse 1, we see the prophecy that Elisha gave concerning what the Lord was going to do tomorrow. And I've often wondered, why didn't he just say today? Well, he couldn't, because that's what the Lord said. You got to say what the Lord says. And the Lord said tomorrow. Now, between today, when you hear the word of the Lord, and tomorrow, what should you do? Well, Elisha said, by this time tomorrow, you know, there's going to be an abundance in the land. Well, that was tomorrow, not today. But today, you know, you're still dealing with the issues that are on the ground. There's still famine, there's still shortage, there's still everything. But he said tomorrow. Well, you can believe God, take the word like that. There are some things that God gives to us and watches us, you know, to try to see how we are going to respond. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, we read in verses 16 and 17, the promise of tomorrow. You know, tomorrow, but what did they do today after they heard that promise for tomorrow? That's one lesson that we need to learn from how Jehoshaphat responded when he heard the promise for tomorrow. Well, he spent today worshiping the Lord. You know, so Jehoshaphat bowed his head to the ground. And all Judah and all inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord and worshiped because they heard the prophecy for tomorrow. So you spend the time worshiping today. Now that's also indicative and prophetic for whatever the Lord has promised. Tomorrow is not always literally tomorrow. In this case, it was. But tomorrow could be your tomorrow, could be whatever is yet to come. And the Lord may be promising something today for what is yet to come. So what do you do today? Well, today, you believe the Lord, the word of the Lord, and you worship. Then you trust the Lord for what he has said concerning tomorrow. Now, when the children of Israel were in Egypt and God was set to deliver them, there were many things he said for tomorrow. Well, let's take a look at some of them. In the book of, Exodus, the Lord said many things to Moses, and a lot of it was about, you know, tomorrow. And he would tell Moses the things that he's going to do, and so on and so forth. And he will cause them to, he will cause the word of the Lord to go forth out of the mouth of Moses to Pharaoh and the land, against the land of Egypt. Let's look at some examples. In Exodus chapter 8 and verse 23, the Lord said, I will put a division between my people and thy people. Tomorrow shall this sign be. Well, why not today? Well, the Lord said tomorrow. You know, so tomorrow, if he said it, then you got to believe the Lord today and put your trust in the word of the Lord. And we see that God, he does many things like that. Same thing in Exodus chapter 9, verses 5 and 18. He also indicated some things that he would do under Moreh. You know, and it gives the people an opportunity today to believe the Lord. Let's see what the Lord said in Exodus chapter 9 and verse 5. And the Lord set an appointed time, saying, tomorrow shall the Lord do this thing in the land. And then he said the Lord actually did that thing on the morrow. That's right. So we see that sometimes the Lord will give that tomorrow message. Also, verse 18 of the same Exodus chapter 9, the Lord also said, behold, tomorrow about this time, I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail. Now, the Lord always giving them opportunity to call upon the name of the Lord. The ones, for instance, upon which the judgment were coming, they could have called upon the name of the Lord because the Lord said tomorrow, but they didn't. Hard in their hearts, Moses was already told by the Lord that Pharaoh was going to, you know, his heart will be hardened, you know, and so forth. So, but they had opportunity because the Lord always said tomorrow. Now, today is a great day. Yesterday is already past. Tomorrow is yet to come. So the lesson that God is telling us today is that while we are in today, now, like I said yesterday, you may have had all these disappointments, distress, pain, sickness, disease, and all what have you. Today, you are hearing the Lord's word for tomorrow. That's right. There is always the hope of a better tomorrow. Now, let's read Psalm 102 and verse 13. And we can begin to believe the Lord for the things that he is putting in order for us. He said, the Lord said, you know, here, through the words of David, thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her. Yea, the set time is come. Well, when we are in the general season, today is every day that we continue to believe the Lord. It's an opportunity for us to believe the Lord every single day for a better tomorrow. Now, rather than playing back sad memories of yesterday, well, let's believe God for today and also for a better tomorrow. There's always a future, a better outlook. Even when the Lord said to Abraham in Genesis 13, you know, it was a promise that he was going to give him. He said, look ahead from where you are, that's today, look ahead for tomorrow. You know, from where you are, the place where you are, look ahead. I'm going to do great things for you as far as you can see. So there's always, you know, the knowledge of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. What about hindsight, insight, and foresight? Well, hindsight is for yesterday, insight is for today, and foresight is for tomorrow or the future. Now, I covered this extensively when we did our wisdom series, but in case you didn't hear it or you have forgotten about it, let me talk about that briefly. You know, hindsight is what we have when we look back on what's already passed. You know, so at the moment when you were there, it wasn't hindsight. If the Lord gives you inspiration, during your season, that's insight. When once that season is passed, you know, you can look back, that's hindsight. But the Lord can also give you foresight. You know, and a prudent man, we're told, has foresight. He foreseeth the evil. That's foresight. And he hides himself. You know, so the Lord can use foresight to help us to understand what's coming and how to hide ourselves. Proverbs 22 and verse 3. So there's hindsight, insight, and foresight that can parallel yesterday, today, and tomorrow. But let me talk a little more about the past, the present, and the future. There are even some things that God will give us. It may be, future may be almost immediate future, near-term future, or long-term future. There's a lot of things that, you know, it can be future. Now, as we are speaking now, you know, 1 hour from now is future to this moment. Yet tomorrow is future as well. And so is next month, so is next year, etc. Other than the moment that you are in, moments that are yet to come, they're actually future. However, the present, sometimes when we use the word present or today, well, today, we know today you can have many hours in the day, right? Day started a few hours ago for some of us, maybe about less than 6 hours ago. Some of you, maybe a little more. And, you know, we still have more hours in the day. But generally speaking, the concept of the present is more than just one day. It's like your season, what you're going through right now. That can be the concept of the present. But then there's also what is yet to come. Now, sometimes the Lord will also give us an opportunity to do something. For instance, the story about, you know, that Jesus told Peter, you know, because they said, well, you know, do you pay taxes? And does your master pay taxes? Well, Jesus said, well, who pays taxes? Is either, is it the stranger or is it the freeborn? They said, well, it's usually, you know, the stranger, not the freeborn. Not the freeborn. But Jesus said, okay, well, in that case, the freeborn are free. But nevertheless, you know, lest people say this and that, go to the sea and cast a hook, take the first fish that comes up, and when you open its mouth, you will find a coin, take that and pay for me and you. You can read that in Matthew chapter 17, verses 23 to 27. Now, why did the Lord say it this way? You know, there's a lesson to be found in this story. And many of these things that are written as anecdotal, that can also be lessons. So let's consider the lesson here. Go to the sea and cast a hook. Well, Peter wasn't carrying around his fishing gear, right? He already stashed it. So now, go to the sea and cast a fishing hook. There's some things that Peter must have to do. He either has to go back to his house and go get his fishing gear, or if he doesn't have it anymore, either go borrow or go buy. But there's quite a lot hidden in that small, simple sentence or instruction. You know, but the instruction was, you know, go over down there and, you know, cast something in the sea. But before you can do that, well, you got to get your fishing gear. So from the time, you know, that Peter would be going to get his fishing gear, well, he would have an opportunity to, you know, actually doubt those things that the Lord said, because, you know, the devil is a master at it. Now, come on now, Peter. You know, he said, look, what do you think? Who ever heard of such a thing that there will be a coin in the mouth of a fish? You know, surely you don't expect that you will catch a fish and find a coin. What about if the first fish you actually catch? And how do you know how long it's going to take you to catch the first fish? What about the first fish you actually catch? What if there's actually no coin inside of it? What are you going to do then? You know, I mean, it can be all kinds of thoughts that will come to his head while he's going to get his fishing gear. And he must go and do exactly like the Lord said, go get your fishing gear, go cast the thing, go back to the sea, cast the thing in there. And you got to believe that the first fish you catch, you know, you're not going to have to catch one fish, open it, and find nothing, catch the next fish, open it, and catch, you know, and so forth. No, it's going to be the very first fish that you catch. But I wonder why the Lord said it that way. I mean, the Lord kind of just said, well, look over there, you'll find a coin. Or snap his hand. He's a creator, give him a coin. But he didn't do any of that. Peter is going to have to walk for something. He's going to have to enact something. He's going to have to believe the word of God. You may have an opportunity for the word of God to be tested, you know, while he's going through all of that. But I can guarantee you this. The moment that the master spoke, all the fish in that sea, they heard it. There was one coin somewhere in that fish. I mean, that sea. There's one coin there. And all the fish will be struggling to be the one to get it. Because the Lord spoke.
You're muted. You're muted. We can't hear you.
Coin, the first fish, come up, open his mouth, find a piece of money, take it, and give it to pay for me and you. And sure enough, Peter did exactly, caught the fish, found the coin. Wow. You know, probably threw the fish back into the sea. All he needed was the coin. You know, the fish had already done the master's bidding. Go about your business. You deliver the coin. Well, there was a whale that God prepared at one time to swallow up, you know, the disobedient prophet Jonah and to deliver him to the sea. I mean, to the shore. And after delivered, he went his way. You know, so I think that fish also delivered that coin. Peter opened the mouth. You know, you can open the mouth without killing the fish. Open the mouth, took the coin, threw the fish back into into the sea. And that fish went out rejoicing, say, whoo-hoo! You know, I did the master's will. You know, the Lord is the creator. You know, it may sound like a funny story, but the Lord is the creator. His word covers all parts of the universe. You know, what about us who actually have the Spirit of God? You know, how do you respond to the word of God? You know, so that's one way of seeing why God allows us, you know, why God says things for the, you know, quote unquote future, so that we have a chance to believe the Lord, or the word of God is being tested, you may actually fall into the condemnation of the devil if you doubt the word of God. You know, so let's not doubt the word of God. God's already spoken it. It may be tomorrow. It may not be today. He may give it to you for tomorrow. Now, so tomorrow may be literally tomorrow, or it could be a whole month or a whole year. I believe that your tomorrow for the prophetic word of Quantum Leap could be any time this year. And the Lord, you know, all he wants you to do now is worship, declare the word of God, believe it, trust him for it, and it is coming. You know, so let's review the yesterday, which is already past. What are some things that you would like to forget? In yesterday, woohoo! You know, what are some things? Well, there are some moments of disgrace, some moments of even shame, some moments of disobedience to the Holy Spirit you would like to forget, but you can't forget, or you should not forget, because those are reminders of what not to do again. You know, so while we say, you know, don't live in the past, right, you can't completely, or you should not completely forget the past. But there may be valuable lessons to learn from the past. Some lessons may be things that will help you stay on the straight and narrow this time around and be more obedient. You know, maybe you remember the things that happened to you when you disobeyed the voice of the Holy Spirit, or you are not discerning, you know, enough when he spoke to you, and the consequences, and then you learn from that. You know, so we can't completely just forget the past. The part that we should not dwell in, though, are the negative things that the devil will try to bring up to you. You know, how that, you know, these, you know, failure, disappointment, and all the discouragement and so forth. And now that's not going to work. It didn't work last time, and it's not going to work this time. You know, the devil would like to say all those things to you. But, you know, when we have the knowledge of the Holy Spirit, we recognize that, look, we can use that information to, you know, curate a better strategy for today. I've learned something about, well, that doesn't work that way. Well, I'm going to try something else this time around, and so on and so forth. So we can't completely, and there's also testimonies that we can draw from yesterday, you know, the bear and the lion for Goliath today. You know, then also you can't always also expect, you know, that everything the way the Lord did it yesterday is the way he's going to do it today. You know, so there are many lessons. God may have done something some way yesterday. You know, he may not do it the same way today. I mean, there's a story, you know, that we know in John chapter 5 of the man with the infirmity waiting for the moving of the water by the pool. You know, so he was thinking that, well, the way that the Lord did it in the past is the way that he's going to do it again and again and again. So that's an error when we see the past necessarily in that light. You got to let the Holy Spirit show you the past in the way that he wants you to see it. The way God did something in the past may not be the way he's going to do it today. You know, so in the past, it was the water and the angel and all of that. But today, it may be the master that's standing right there, you know. And there's also another story that you can read, you know, in 2 Samuel chapter 5. The instruction that God gave yesterday may not be the instruction that he will give today. You know, that's a good lesson for us to see and learn from the story of David. You know, so in that story, we see that, you know, there David, you know, he asked once whether he should, you know, go after the Philistines and so forth, you know, in the first battle. And the Lord said, yeah. And he did. And he asked, you know, then, you know, those Philistines, you know, they are like what we call now whack-a-mole. You whack their head here, they spring their head up in another place. You know, so after that, David defeated them one time, they went away for a while, and they came back again. You know, and, you know, David said, look, first time he inquired of the Lord, I said, shall I go up to the Philistines, and will thou deliver them into my hand? That's 2 Samuel chapter 5 and verse 19. And the Lord said, yeah, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thy hand. So, you know, David went to Baal Perazim and smote them there. And the Lord broke forth on his enemies. And, you know, David got the victory, just like the Lord said. And then these Philistines came back yet again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And then David, now this was a man that knew the ways of the Spirit. You know, just because God gave you that instruction yesterday, that doesn't mean that that's today's instruction. You got to go back to the Holy Spirit for today's strategy. And God gave him strategy here. So he went and inquired of the Lord again. He could have said, well, the Lord said, go up. So every time these Philistines come, I'm going to go up. But no, but he was smarter than that. He had the wisdom and he had the discerning of the Holy Spirit inside of him. And he said, look, shall I go up? You know, and the Lord said, no, you will not go up. Not this time around. But this is the way you're going to do it. And the Lord gave him a different strategy. So there is a lesson for us to learn in strategies. The message that God gave you for yesterday may be different than what he's going to give you today. So you got to keep going back to the Holy Spirit. But the bottom line is, you know, as long as we ask the Lord, he will give us direction. And then there are many promises, you know, that God has given, you know, for us. There are some scriptures, there's a lot of promises, and sometimes some of these promises look like, well, they are future. They may be future. But what do you do about it today? And if you have tremendous faith, there may be something that's not quite yet time. It may be for tomorrow. You may be able to pierce the veil of time even today. We've seen some people do that. We saw the Syro-Phoenician woman do that. Just because Jesus said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel, didn't mean that, you know, the Gentiles were not going to come in. God already had the plan for the Gentiles, but it just wasn't yet time. You know, God was not going to exclude the Gentiles. I mean, the Lord already told the Christ that, look, it is a little thing for me to give you the house of Israel alone. You know, I will extend, you know, your reach even to the Gentiles. You know, so we already knew that was coming, but it wasn't yet time. And so, but this woman, she pierced the veil of time. You know, and the next thing you know, she got something, you know, that was not yet time. You know, so if you have the faith, and you know, let me at this point even talk about seasons and so forth. You know, people, we talk about seasons all the time. You know, so for the Lord, there is no such thing as seasons. Now, for us, there are seasons. But if we should believe and try to constrain the Lord into seasons, then we might be missing out on something. Now, people, you've heard people say, well, it's your season of breakthrough. You know, and I say that sometimes too. But that gives the impression, or might leave the impression, that, well, at certain seasons, you might not experience breakthrough. You know, so, but the Lord would have us understand that as far as the Lord is concerned, that which is yet to be has already been. So you can actually believe the Lord at any time and cross the lines of seasons. Now, there are seasons in God's eternal purposes. And when he's dealing with groups, there are seasons and so forth. You know, but any individual that can believe the Lord at any time, you don't have to wait for some season. Now, at a certain season, the angel came and stirred the pool. That was God's mercy dealing with the group. But the Lord showed us that, look, whether it was the season or not the season, the individual can receive a miracle. And we saw that. And the one man, you know, that the Lord went to, and others were still there waiting for the season. You know, but, you know, this one person received a miracle. So God is showing us that, look, season or no season, you can receive your miracle. And there's another story also about that in Mark chapter 11. The famous story of Jesus speaking to the tree, cursing the tree because it wasn't producing. Well, the reason that Jesus cursed that tree for not producing was, I mean, the reason he cursed the tree was because the tree did not produce. But yet, you might say, well, that's not fair, because it wasn't time for the figs yet. Even the writer of the book said it was not yet time for figs. But, you know, it didn't matter to the Lord. You know, time for figs or not time for figs, when the master shows up, you better have some fruit. Praise the Lord. You know, so the other thing also to learn from that was, afar off, the tree had leaves. It looked that he had something going, you know, and the Lord doesn't like pretenses. That's right. You know, the Lord does not like that. You know, the Lord likes openness. Now, this tree, if the tree had looked like it was dry, even afar off, the Lord would never have come there expecting to find fruit on it. I mean, right now in the United States, this season of winter, there's some places where it's so harsh that all the trees are dead. The leaves are falling, the branches, there's no leaves. You know, I mean, the Lord would not be coming to such a tree that had dead, complete deadness in it, and no leaves, nothing looked like it's even hidden there, and expecting to find fruit. He would already see that it was dead. But this tree had leaves, you know, and it looked like he had something going. But he really didn't have anything going. You know, it's kind of like Revelation chapter 3 and verse 1. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis, like this tree, you know, he said, look, these things saith he that had the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that you have a name, that you live, but you are dead. You know, the tree looked like he was alive, looked like he was producing, he had leaves, and it was bunched up, and from afar off, yeah, it looked like he had something going. But when the Lord came near, and found that he didn't have anything going. You know, he have an appearance of having a name, a big brother, a big pastor, a big sister, a big this, a big prophet, but inside, you're dead. Jesus said, look, outside, you know, whited sepulchres. They even have some of them headstones, some of them marbles, some of them, you know, different things they put on those headstones. I mean, they look really good on the outside, but on the inside, dead men's bones. You know, so, you know, that's a lesson too, you know, which is a bit of a digression, but it's a lesson. God does not deal in seasons necessarily. The seasons are for us. In season and out of season, the way the Lord expects us to function and to flourish, I just want to make sure that I give this rounded lesson so people don't say, oh, it's not my season. It's not my season yet. No, that's not what we're talking about here. You know, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor seated in the seat of this scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law does he meditate day and night. Psalm 1. And he shall be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Well, that season is all year round, because his leaf shall never wither. There's no off season. You know, it's not like winter is dead and then spring, it springs up again. No. But, you know, so God wants us to not necessarily be seasonal in our faith, you know, and our expectation. You can reach out at any time. The Lord is ever present. Hallelujah. It's a very present help. You know, any time that you need the Lord, he's right there. You don't need to wait for some certain season. But that being said, you know, I mean, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Psalm 46 and verse 1. But that being said, there may also be certain seasons that God has appointed because God calls the times. And that's generally for people. They call the times. You know, he may call the time that, well, you know, it shall come to pass that at such a time as this, I will do this and I will do that. You know, generally speaking, you know, but the one that has tremendous faith, they can go grab that at any time. Praise the Lord. You know, so that is our lesson today. In summary, the things that are past, you know, if they are good, well, that's good. We use it to strengthen ourselves for even better. If they were not so good, well, we learn from that. You know, but if you do not, you know, and yeah, here's another thing I brought out in our wisdom series. If you do not, if you don't learn how to get past your yesterday, you will never be better than you were yesterday. You know, so whether that yesterday was good or evil, consider the one where the yesterday was bad. And people continue to dwell in that in a negative way. Not in the way that they learn from it and use that to gain an advantage for now, but they dwell in it in a negative way. Well, then they will never be better than that. You got to move past that. Now, but even if it was good, and you're thinking, well, you've arrived, then you still will know about be better than that. You know, you got to keep pressing forward for even greater things. The visionaries of past times and even our times, they're the ones that are always looking for new horizons. They're not resting on their oars. You know, well, I did this year, accomplished this yesterday, so I'm good. No, they're doing, looking for more. So unless you move past yesterday, you will never be better than you were yesterday. So you got to move past yesterday. Move forward. Hallelujah. So some of the, those are some of the lessons from today. But today is the day that you will always hear the word of the Lord. And even the word of the Lord that God told you yesterday, the Holy Spirit will remind it to you today. That's what Jesus said. He said the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he will bring to your remembrance things that I already told you in the past. So God will always bring that word fresh to you today. So what is your responsibility today regarding yesterday and tomorrow? Well, your responsibility is today, when you hear the word of God, harden not your heart. So you look at what God has already done yesterday to garnish strength for today, knowing that the Lord that gave you the victory over the lion and the bear, he can also give you victory over Goliath. That's a good way of dealing with, you know, yesterday. You know, but the evil way of dealing with yesterday is what the devil will want you to do, is to wallow in the defeat and say, well, you know, you never amount to much. You know, remember everything you've already tried, nothing ever worked. You know, so you never walked then. Why do you think it's going to work now? You know, and all those negative things that the devil likes to say. But we need to learn better and deal with that. Now, when you hear the word of God today, it may encourage you for a to expect a better outlook for tomorrow. So putting all the dimensions together, past, present, and future, yesterday, today, and tomorrow, our lesson today is to encourage us to believe for a better tomorrow. There's always a better tomorrow that we can believe God for. Hallelujah. And even those of us who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord, we must keep believing even until then for that glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. You know, that's something that, you know, appears to be future, and we don't know exactly where it will be. We don't know that it won't be today or tomorrow or whatever. And even Paul, he thought it might happen in his day because he said, we, which are alive and remain. He didn't say they, which are alive and remain. So we, which are alive and remain, are looking forward to that as well. And the things that God has spoken and prophesied for us, we need to encourage ourselves in the same. So let me wrap up the lesson there. One last thing I will say to you is Mark 11 and verse 24. There are some principles there which are actually, you know, part of my principles of the oracles of God. Seven of those principles, you know, some of them are revealed in that verse. But here's how Jesus said it in Mark 11 and 24. Well, let's look at the way he said it, actually 23 and 24. He said, "Verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said." Now, so let's look at those elements, these elements of past, present, and future, even in that saying that Jesus said. Okay? So, the mountain is obviously there. And it's a thing that it may be something that is insurmountable. Maybe a situation, you know, that, you know, is overwhelming, you know. But here's what Jesus said. Today, you can speak to that mountain. And when you speak to that mountain, you can address that situation today. But you must not doubt it at the moment. You must not doubt it even tomorrow either. And you cannot keep believing that those things you said shall come to pass. Now, they shall come to pass. That's future. Now, it could be future. It could be an immediate future that, you know, from maybe 5 minutes from the time you said it. Or it could be 5 days, 5 months. Well, we don't know how long it'll be, but it's future. So these elements are also packed in there. You know, what things soever you desire, when you pray, that's now, right now, this moment, this season, when you are praying, believe that you receive them, and then ye shall have them. That's future. You know, I mean, we don't know whether it will be in the next 5 minutes. It could be immediately. We see a lot of that in the scripture. It could be a little later down the road. But nevertheless, you believe now and realize it in the future. That's right. So, that's our lesson for us today, to understand that with God, there really isn't any season. What we think is future is already past with him. And if we have that understanding, then we can walk our faith towards that, knowing that God's already seen the end from the beginning. And we use our faith today to believe the word of God. So against yesterday's disappointments, sorrows, failures, shame, distress, anguish, sickness, and so forth. Against all those things comes the word of promise today for a better tomorrow. And as you receive the word of promise, then what do? You believe the word, sanctify the word in your heart, and you worship and continue to declare the word of God for that realization. And faith, believing God, you know, when we spoke about this 2 weeks or so ago, right, look, prophetically, prophecy will give you something about the future. But believing will make, bring it into, maybe even last week, will bring it into fulfillment and realization. I'm going to pray over the room and leave it there. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the exhortation to cause us to believe and exercise ourselves in the things of God and to not be relieving the past if they were negative, but to learn from the past and to use the lessons of the past to garnish and gain strength and encouragement for the moment. Thank you, Lord, for the great things you promised ahead. Now, this year promises, the Lord said, where many will experience a quantum leap. And Lord, we are looking forward to that promise. In the meantime, we thank you. And we praise your holy name and teach us, Lord, to rely on the Holy Spirit, to go to him time and time again for strategy. for instruction, that we may know the way that the Lord wants us to go. And we give you, Lord, the praise and the glory. And I know the Lord has said in his word that though sorrow may endure for a night, joy is coming in the morning. So whatever the situation is right now that your people may be going through, may not be all there, you know, the way we want it, but there is hope of a tree. Hallelujah. According to Job chapter 14, verses 7 to 9, there's hope of the tree that though it be cut down right now, and though it may be rotten and so forth now, through the scent of water of the word that you're hearing today, tomorrow, that tree will spring back to life. Praise the Lord. And again, it is written in Job chapter 8 and verse 7, that though thy beginnings, they look small from yesterday, they still look small even today, yet by tomorrow, your latter end shall greatly increase. So thank you, Lord, for all these things. We give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.